First reading this evening is from Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 1 to 13. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 13, and it's page 1174. As for you who were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the earth, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners in the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18.
The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities of themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more."
Thank you, Ken. There's a book that was written called The Perfect Storm, and actually it was made into a film. Don't bother watching the film, it is very boring. And The Perfect Storm is about a fishing boat that goes out, and they really don't have a look at the weather forecast. And when they've been out at sea for about a couple of hours, a storm develops. And it is wind and rain and thunder and lightning and huge waves. And the men on the boat are in danger of losing their lives. It was a perfect storm. It had all the elements there for a perfect storm. In gymnastics, you can have a perfect score if you're that good. A couple of times this year in the international gymnastics, which you've seen on TV, the American girl, who only seems to be about this high actually, she's amazing, and she's had this couple of times, this perfect score, in which the gymnast scores all the points in all the parts of the discipline. A perfect score. Now, you will have your own ideas of what is perfect. It might have been a perfect day out. It may have been a perfect evening, a perfect birthday, or a perfect celebration, or a perfect husband, or a perfect wife. That's what Dot would be saying about me. But we'll move on quickly, I think. I did used to say to my children at one time that they had a perfect father, but then I gave up as they getting older and realised that they didn't. So we all have our different ideas of what perfection is. But we should have a graphic to go up there, Chris, and wherever you can find it. But what we're thinking about tonight is Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. And when Jesus died on the cross for the sins of mankind, why was it a perfect sacrifice? Well, first of all, Jesus is God's Son. And secondly, Jesus was also obedient to his Father, and Jesus went willingly to the cross. Thirdly, Jesus was sinless and shed his own blood on the cross. And fourthly, Jesus' sacrifice was permanent, a once for all, did not need to be repeated in one way or another at all. It was a once-for-all sacrifice. What the writer of the Hebrews does in this chapter 9 and this chapter 10, 1-18, which Ken read, he compares the sacrifice of Jesus to the sacrifices that God required in the Old Testament. So let's look at those comparisons. The high priest of old had to offer sacrifices for his own sins because he was only a man, whereas Jesus was sinless. in the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed and their blood was used. In verse 4 of chapter 10, we read this. It says, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Quite a statement when you think that all of the animals that were used in the Old Testament. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And the big contrast is that Jesus shed his own blood on the cross. Jesus shed his own blood on the cross. Also in the Old Testament sacrifices, they had to be made regularly. And as we read in verse 11 of that chapter, it says this, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Again, what a statement, isn't it? That those sacrifices of old could never take away sins, this Hebrews writer sets down here. Not only did these sacrifices have to be repeated, they can't take away sins. And now, read verse 12. It says, but when this priest, that's referring to Jesus, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. What a great verse that is. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is sitting at God's right hand. The Bible also tells us that he intercedes for us, his own people. I hope that you can see that the sacrifice of Jesus was far superior than the sacrifices of old. Although the old order, or the first covenant, as the writer here puts it, although it was instituted by God, it was restricted and limited, and there was no access to God. Verses 5, 6, and 7 sum this up for us. And it says this, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. God's obedient servant, Jesus. This is what he says here. And that's, those verses are taken from Psalm 40. Jesus steps forward and he willingly gives himself as a sacrifice for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world. Jesus meets the needs of sinners, but also, and very importantly, he meets the need of God's requirement for sacrifice. Therefore, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice because he meets all of God's requirements as well as meeting the needs of sinners as well. What God has provided for us in Jesus is nothing short of amazing. And it's wonderful. We have a wonderful salvation. But for those who don't belong to God, it's a serious issue. In verse 27 of chapter 9, we read this. Just as man, and of course it includes woman as well, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. The Bible carries lots of good news. And this morning Dave was talking about hope, and there's great hope in the Bible. There's great hope we have in our salvation and the God that we adore. But also the Bible is serious, and it says that if you don't belong to God, that you have to face judgment when you die. So we need to be sure where we stand before God. We need to be sure where we stand with God. The Bible teaches that we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible teaches that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. We need to recognize and admit that we are sinners. And we need God's help and forgiveness. The Bible tells us that we need to repent and become a disciple of Jesus. We need to put our complete trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it reminds us there that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. A nice positive statement for the sinner. But some people do have the wrong idea of what makes them a Christian, or what saves them from sin. Attending church does not make us a Christian. Just believing in God does not make us a Christian. Being baptized as a baby doesn't make us a Christian. Being confirmed doesn't make us a Christian. Being dedicated as a baby does not make us a Christian. Having Christian parents does not make us a Christian. Jesus did for us on the cross was perfect and unique. He brings us to God when we are saved. The Bible makes that quite clear, that when we call upon the Lord to be saved, that because of Jesus and we put our faith in him, that we are brought near to God. Phil last week was talking about the high priest in the Old Testament, and it was only the high priest who could go into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But you remember when Jesus died on the cross and the curtain in the temple to the Holy of Holies was split in two. Why was that? Because that gave sinners who trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, it gave them access into the Holy of Holies. In other words, it gave them access to God. You can't beat that kind of good news, can you? Dave was talking to the children this morning about they're looking forward to Christmas. Yippee! We'll get some new gifts. As though they didn't already have plenty of gifts. But the greatest gift, of course, is the Bible talks about, is the gift of Jesus Christ, not only as a baby, but the gift of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. What a gift that is. So we are privileged people when we know Jesus as our Saviour, and we have access to God, because the old system, and it tells us here that the people of old under the first covenant, they did not have access to God, but we do by faith in Jesus Christ. We are not only cleansed and forgiven, but we have peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1 tells us that we have peace with God. And I mentioned about access to God, that's in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. But also the other thing which the Bible tells us is that when we are forgiven, when we come to God, that our sins are borne away. We don't have to be thinking about the sins that we've committed, but they are forgiven, they are cleansed, they are taken away, and God remembers them no more. We don't have a God who's continually tapping us on the shoulder and saying, do you remember such and such a time or such and such a thing? Thank God we do not have a God like that. And also, we have, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:23 that our name is written in heaven. So if you're a Christian, your name's up there. It's written in heaven. Something else to thank God for. And the other thing which the Bible reminds us of is that Jesus has defeated death, and he's defeated sin, and he's defeated the devil. They no longer, when we belong to God, when we belong to Jesus, they no longer have that hold upon us. Yes, we still sin, but sin no longer has that grip on our lives. And death no longer has that grip on our lives, because when we are finished in this earth and mortally we go to a different place, and the Bible tells us that we live forever and ever. And then right at the end of that verse 17 and 18 in that chapter, it says that our sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for the things that we've looked at, but also he doesn't need to do it again. It's a once for all sacrifice for our sins. And let's thank God that that is what our salvation gives us, that we belong to Jesus, and that as we sing the carols leading up to Christmas and over Christmas, and they remind us why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save those